Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, this is Adult Films Exposed. In-depth discussion and interviews with members of the adult film industry.
Happy hump day. Welcome to Adult Films Exposed. I'm your host, Yael Teagle. If you have not already, make sure you go to iTunes, hit subscribe, give us a review. Also, we're on YouTube. That's youtube.com/adultfilmsexposed. Let's jump into it. I have the lovely Joanna Angel.
Hello. Hi. I'm so confused. I'm like, where do I look?
You look at me. Like, it's just us.
Just you. Okay. Yeah. We're the only ones here.
We are. I'm so excited to have you. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
You won the AVN Award for Best Porn Star Website 4 years in a row.
Four times. Yeah.
But in a row.
In a row. Yeah. I've also won an award for Best Solo Scene. Three times. I can't remember if it was in a row or right. not, but I've definitely won it three times. So I guess I'm really good at masturbating. it's just kind of bizarre.
But I mean, I want to say this from a website, strictly website, regardless of what's on the website standpoint, your website is actually very beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Well, I have burningangel.com and I have joannaangel.com. Right. I mean, the content kind of feeds into one another. Mm-hmm. If you go to burningangel.com, you can see all the content from joannaangel.com right. is in there, but on joannaangel.com, it's just the joannaangel.com yeah. stuff. So best porn star website was for joannaangel.com. Yeah. So burningangel.com has not won the award yet for best website. Adult website, because I guess the competition is a little bit different there, but we will win one day.
Yeah.
they have to give it to us eventually.
from a website standpoint, they're actually really, like, they're well made, they're well put together, they're
Thank
easy
you.
To move. I feel like this is so off topic of what we're talking about, but it needs to be said.
It's oh, well, thank you. Website. I mean, you know, since day one, I mean, that's where I live. You know, Burning Angel is my home. Right. You know, that's where everything is. You know, most girls in the adult industry, you have to go to like lots and lots of different websites to kind of see their retrospective, if you will. Right. And, you know, for me, you can really see about 90% of everything I've done in porn, you know, on burningangel.com. So, you know, and that's always been my primary source of income. I mean, anything else I've ever done, you know, is just kind of an additional source. So the website has to be perfect or else I'm fucked.
So I always respect someone who has looked at the industry and said, here's where we're going. We're going to online. This is what is happening. And you've really taken control of your business, your brand, and your company. And I think that's just so amazing.
Thank you.
And you're doing it. You've been in the industry for about 15 years.
I officially started, I guess, in 2002. How many years is that? 13? 14?
Yeah. But you look like...
It's been a long time.
You don't look a day over the day
19.
You started.
19. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I mean, I think I actually look younger now than when I first started. And
yeah, it happens.
Yeah, it does happen. You know...
Yeah,
it's just how it is. I mean, I'm a happy person, you know, and I think the secret to looking good is being happy on the inside. You know, that's what you have to. It's really what you have to do.
Yeah,
you know, you have to take care of your insides for your outside to reflect well.
All right, well, let's get into the adult industry.
Yeah,
how did you start in this world?
Well, in 2002, I was in college. Mm-hmm. I was kind of a senior in college in the sense that I was in my last year. I was like, you know, I was in my bonus round, you know, like it took me longer than 4 years to graduate.
You
know? So I think
senior.
I was on like, I was a super senior, is how they call it.
That's what they called it in my school. Everyone was a super senior there.
So yeah, I was, and impending doom of what should I do with my life was, you know, kind of getting closer and closer. Mm-hmm. And I had looked at I don't know. I was like applying for jobs that I really didn't even want. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't really have a plan of what the hell I was supposed to be doing. And my roommate at the time was like, hey, do you want to start a porn site with me? And I was like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. And I really truly had no idea that this was going to be where it wound up. I knew nothing about porn. I had barely watched a porn. The only times I even have was like I lived with a whole bunch of guys when I was in college, and I remember I like you know, we would always like hang out and like play video games in like one of the dude's rooms, you know. Like I like walked in once, be like, hey guys, like I'm home, like let's order food, and what are you guys watching? Oh my god. I'm getting out of here.
They were all watching it together.
Yeah, I don't know, you know, this was college and this is all a different time. There was like one DVD player in the house, you know? I don't know, whatever. And I was like, and I like I watched maybe like a minute of it, and I was like, I'm getting out of here.
Do you remember
like,
what it was?
You know, it was actually, it was Girls Gone Wild, which is, I don't even know if you really consider that porn, but it was somewhat pornographic. I don't know.
That makes more sense as to why they were watching it together.
Yeah. I know. You know, like, remember at that time, it was like the infomercials would come on late at night, and, you know, they'd all be drunk and order like 100 of them or whatever. I don't know. And, so really, I knew nothing about porn. I knew nothing about the porn industry. I mean, this was a long time ago. This was even a couple years before like MySpace, you know, before even Friendster, before like you could just peep into someone's life really easily. You know, I feel like now anytime if anybody wants to know anything about a porn star, just log onto the internet and you can find out what they ate that day, where they went, who they're angry at, like what their feelings on anything is, you know. That's kind of how the world is now. But this was way before this. And I was living in New Jersey, so I was not in California. I did not have any friends that were in porn or anything like that. And I think that was kind of a curse and kind of a blessing at the same time, because Burning Angel was really just purely started on whatever the hell I felt was right to do. I wasn't basing my business off of like looking at other people and being like, okay, well, we should do that or we should do that. You know, like it was really just kind of like an ignorance is bliss kind of thing. Yeah. So, so we kind of developed our core, you know, and developed our whatever the start just based on, I don't know, whatever the hell was in my head at the time. But yeah, so that was really how it started, and that this is where I am now. I mean, and that was like 13 or 14 years ago. So I think some people, because it's pretty common now for girls to, you know, being, you know, up in the mix, performers, working for other people, you know, working for lots of different companies, and then, you know, towards the end of their careers or just after a certain amount of years, they decide to start their own production companies. Right. And I think there are some people who think that also happened to me, but I've had my own company like since day one.
You started. I started with your own company.
With my own company, and I am with my own company.
That's
there was
amazing.
There was a little while where I like went off and explored in the world, and I was like, all right, well, maybe to get my name out there, I should work for like a couple other people, and you know, I had like directing deals with other people and stuff. But that was a while ago, and I haven't done. I mean, it's been it's been a while since I've been on somebody else's porn set. So,
well, so you studied English. Right?
I studied English,
and you're a writer.
I minored in cinema studies.
Oh, okay.
But it wasn't like it was cinema studies. It wasn't film. And looking back on it now, I was like, God, I was such an idiot. Like, guys, if you're in college, like, don't be an idiot like me. Like, I feel like I had all this knowledge, like, at my fingertips, you know? And I really did go to a good school. And I, like, chose to take these classes where of, like, shit that I probably could have just done on my own, you know? Yeah. And, like, I wish I actually took the film classes where you, like, learned, like, you know, the mechanics about cameras or, you know, stuff like that, that would have really been like useful later on down the line. But I did not
feeling.
Do that. I'm like, I want to take a film class where all you do is sit and watch movies and then talk about them, which was cool. I did watch a lot of movies. Yeah. But when people are like, oh, well, that makes sense. You minored in film. And I'm like, well, it wasn't like really like film. It was like, I don't know. It was like a lazy stoner class or something. Like, we just watched movies.
It was cinema enjoyment studies.
Yeah. I mean, I watched a lot of movies, you know, of every decade. So I guess I learned a lot about you know, different directors yeah. and what they did and what their styles were, and you dissected movies, you know, and right. stuff like that. But it was kind of the same thing you do in English class, but with movies,
yeah.
you know, like huh. you... Anyway, yeah. So that's what I did. I mean, this is so long ago. People ask me about college now. I'm like, I really barely remember, you know, yeah. like people were, you know, I now have like, you know, fans and stuff that go to Rutgers mm-hmm. and they'll be like, oh, did you have this teacher? I'm like, I don't even remember. Do you know? It's been like 12 years since I finished school. This wasn't like a year ago. It's right. been a while.
It's because you look yeah. so young.
I know.
It was 2 years ago. let me ask, did your roommate study business?
No, neither of us knew anything
so then
about
you,
anything.
How did you do it so successfully?
Well, I mean, I appreciate you saying we are successful, you know. I don't know. You know, I've always been really like a perfectionist, you know, mm-hmm. like I always decide if I'm going to do something, I want to do it 100%. And I just, yeah. when I get passionate about something, I just kind of go and I keep going. And I don't know, like once we started, I was like, wow, this could be something really cool. And mm-hmm. I just kind of pushed myself and I was just like, I don't know, you know, it was a long process, you yeah. know, like it took a while for us to get where we were. I mean, some people don't realize, like, I mean, I was doing porn for a little while, like years mm-hmm. before I ever paid myself like a dollar, you know? So some people are like, you know, I'm like, not everybody would do what I did. Right. Most girls don't want to get into porn and make no money for like 5 years, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that is a very rare thing, you know? Like, yeah. So I think a lot of people don't realize that, but that, I mean, that's really how it was. Like, I literally did not pay myself like $1 and I still had to have like a day job, you know, for mm-hmm. a little while before things started to kind of make sense. But I'm very glad that we started when we did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were very lucky to have started before all the tube sites and,
yeah.
and you know, and piracy just being as, right. as rampant as it was. So we were able to kind of like at least get kind of the ball rolling. I mean, it's crazy to think that back when we started for the first couple of years, all we had was photo sets. We didn't even have any videos. And we updated with one photo set, but maybe 60 to 80 photos.
Mm-hmm.
They were very bad. The quality was so bad. I don't know, you know, like
yeah.
it's just crazy to look at some of the
right.
first few photo sets now compared to like what people do now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we updated with one photo set literally every 6 weeks and people signed up. I mean, we were only charging $10 a month, but
yeah.
nobody would pay $10 a month to see 60
yeah.
photos once every 6 weeks. That would never happen, you
yeah.
know? So the fact that, I mean, it wasn't like a shitload of people, but it was enough people to
yeah.
get a little bit of money to pay girls and then get more models and do whatever, you know, it was enough money to develop
wow.
a very small foundation for us to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And we literally still have members that have been around since day one. They're pretty lucky because like
yeah.
if you sign up then like you can still pay the same price. So it's kind of funny. There's not that many of them left, but
right,
you know, there's a handful, you know?
That's great. It's like rent controlled. Like,
yeah.
Where it?
Yeah.
That's
so,
amazing.
I mean, just to think about it, it sounds like we were around in the internet stone age or
yeah.
something, you know? Like literally it was just photos and it took forever. Like you would click on a photo and it'd be like, do, like it took so
yeah.
long for the thing to load. Like people waited that long. Like now you could just turn on your phone and there's like boom, like photos everywhere.
Yeah.
Like
go
inundated with girls in thongs, girls naked, you know, girls
yeah.
like with two dicks in their ass. Like just like log onto Twitter and like, you know, you can really see anything at your fingertips. But
yeah.
at that time there were really no like girls with tattoos
mm-hmm.
or like alternative looking girls
yeah.
anywhere in porn at all. You know?
Right.
Or even naked.
Yeah. Yeah.
and they're just, yeah, they're just, things just weren't so saturated yet. So anyway,
well,
sorry. I talk
yeah.
so much. Sometimes it's hard when people ask how we first started. I'm like, we started so long ago and so much has happened since then.
No,
I don't even know where to begin.
I mean,
know?
That's what we want to know. We want to know how we got from there to here.
So
I
that was then.
You're compared a lot. I'm going to say it. You get compared a lot to the Suicide Girls a little bit.
Still?
Not as much because
oh,
they kind of
like,
disappeared.
Yeah,
but
no, I mean, I don't. I mean, Suicide Girls is a. I mean, they were a very, very, very large brand. You know,
mm-hmm.
there was no way to whether you like them or you hate them or whatever it is, I mean, they are...
Yeah.
I almost don't even think, like they are... Like, at this point, people are like, you look like a Suicide Girl. Like, it's like they've kind of taken over the certain look, you know? Yeah, like, people don't even say, like, oh, that girl is an alternative look. They're like... Like, yeah. Literally, I've done... Every once in a while, I'll do, like, audition for... roles on TV shows that mm-hmm. I don't get. I don't even know why I do it, but I just something to do.
Yeah, why not?
And so why I've literally not? Gotten like casting call things that are like looking for a Suicide Girl looking type, right. You know. So I mean they've developed something, yeah. You know, they are huge. But they I think we got compared to them in the beginning because mm-hmm. we only had photos.
Right.
And it was around that time where, you know, there were different websites of that genre popping right. up. But at a certain point we were like, you know what? We're going to make hardcore porn. And Suicide Girls was always very adamant
yeah.
about not making hardcore porn. They were, you know, they were always like, I mean, there's no porn on that yeah. website. It's yeah, naked yeah. girls, and they're not even that explicit.
Right.
As far as I know, I don't want to speak about their brand because I really don't know right. much about
I
it.
Mean,
but
last time I saw it, it was just topless girls.
Yeah, I think you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So we really don't get compared to them very much anymore. It felt like in the beginning we were always getting yeah. compared to them. So, but I think at a certain point we kind of went one way and, you know, they went yeah. another way and we stopped, you know, being compared to each other. But in the beginning we both, it's kind of funny to think about it because I remember when we first launched and I was like, so proud of us with our 5 photo sets yeah. and our janky website that barely works, thinking it was like the most amazing thing on the internet, yeah. you know? And I remember someone being like, oh, have you seen this? And I just like clicked on it and it was Suicide Girls and I was like, what's this? You know? And it's like, there's like hundreds of girls on there right. and there's like all these like functions on there. And I was like, who did this? Where are they? And it was just kind of funny because we were on the East Coast yeah. and they were on the West Coast. It was just kind of funny that on two sides of the world,
right.
people were thinking, two sides of the country, you know, people yeah. were thinking like, let's put naked yeah. tattooed girls on the internet.
It's like the 90s rap battles
yeah.
taken to another level. And
we used to get compared to them a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, it was difficult because they've always, you know, since day one, been a much bigger company than us. You
right.
know? It was hard because I was like, well, it's just me over yeah. here, you know. Me and my roommate. But I mean, we don't get compared to them so yeah. much anymore.
And like, look at where we are now.
Yeah.
Who remembers them? I want to talk a little bit about some movies that you made.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah, let's talk.
There's been a couple of them.
Yeah, let's talk about specifics.
Okay.
I want to talk about The Walking Dead, a hardcore parody.
Okay.
Let's talk about the making of this movie. Now, you have been very adamant about scripts and the importance of scripts in adult films, yeah. which I think is wonderful.
Thank you. I mean, we also do have your girl yeah. does a striptease and a guy walks into a room for no reason.
Right.
We have plenty of those too.
Right.
Yeah, but we also have a lot of movies.
Let's compare the two of those. So when you have, you know,
I love them both, you know, and I think I would go crazy because the scripts that I work really hard on them, and you know, in those movies they cost a lot of money, they take a lot of costuming, they take a lot of extra people on set, and a lot of extra time, you know, and you have to sometimes people forget how much I don't even. Sorry if I talk all over the place. I don't even produce as much content as most of the people in the adult industry, and I make, you know, about 2 movies every month. And mm-hmm. you think about that, that's like, you know, 24 movies a year.
Yeah.
If I had to think of an elaborate plot, script, you know, and everything for all of those, like, I would go insane, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, that's why we have, like, a healthy mix.
Right.
Of, you know, so we have a handful of movies a year of, you know, the scripted stuff. Yeah.
So and then Yeah. If you have the naked girl guy walks in, they do it.
I mean, I'm simplifying it a little bit.
No, I know.
You know?
And I love it.
There's more to it than
right.
but yes.
So how many people would be on a crew for that?
My crew has grown and gotten small. You know, like I've tried many different variations of a crew over the years and I've kind of found a formula that works. And we actually have a very similar crew when I do a feature and when I do just a regular, what they call gonzo movie. But I always have, a camera guy, I have a lighting guy, I have a PA, I have a photographer.
Okay.
So, and then we have another woman on set, and she's the editor, Not like she has to edit on the set, but she'll do like behind the scenes, you know, stuff like that. And sometimes it's just helpful to have, you know, the editor on set. It's just like, make sure you get this. And I'm like, oh, good thinking. I will not kill myself. But she's there some of the time. She's not, you know, anyway.
And so then when you do a feature like The Walking Dead.
When we do a feature for The Walking Dead, really, all we'll add sometimes, sometimes we'll have a sound guy. I mean, usually the camera guy, he has a boom, you know, and the PA will just like hold the boom. But since the PA is busier on those bigger sets. So sometimes we'll get a second PA and we'll get a sound guy. I think once we got like a second lighting guy. But that's really it. That's as big as it gets, you know? I know there's, you know, I'd rather have like I think my crew is the best. You know, I'd rather have just a few very talented people than than have like 10, you know, beginners on set. You know, like I think my camera guy, his name is Mike Quasar. I don't know. I think he's amazing. You know, he can do just about anything. You know, like I'd rather, I think he does the work of what would take two camera guys on other people's sets. You know what I like to just having more people on set. It winds up taking up more time. I think, you know, some people love to have like 20 people around, like, like it's one person's job to just like, push one button, you know, and like it's one person's job.
Then
just
you know,
like,
that button's gonna be pushed.
I know, right? I'd rather just pay the people I have, like, you know, a little extra money to do a few jobs at once than have, you know, several people. But everybody likes to run their sets differently. You know, we used to only shoot like one, maybe two scenes a day, and at that time we didn't even have a lighting guy. You know, I just like had like a very small kit of lights, and you know, we would just kind of do it ourselves. But now I have a lighting guy, you know, because we always shoot three or sometimes four scenes a day. So when you have, you know, more people, you can shoot more stuff. But that's what I have. It's a pretty, it's like a step up from your porno crew that's just like one dude. I mean, there are porn sets that's just one guy, and he's the guy who's sometimes talent, and he's shooting the camera, and he's taking the pictures, and you know, and you're shooting like in his house, and there is porn that's shot like that, and it does have its appeal to it. I'm not knocking anyone that shoots like that. You know, there is definitely some of those, some crews that are just two people, so we have like a slightly bigger crew than that,
right?
You know, but not as big as the big ones.
Is it difficult when you're performing in a shoot that you're also writing, directing, producing?
You know, at this point, that's really like all I've done, you know, like I do remember when I would perform for other people and I'd always be like, this is so weird. So I just have downtime now. Like, am I supposed to do anything? Or even when, you know, I do, like, I was like an extra in one of my friends, one of her, you know, adult movies. Like, she always asking me to perform in her movies. I'm like, I don't perform for other people, but if you want to give me like an acting role, I can. And, you know, and I remember being on her set and I felt so like antsy, you know. I was like, this is so weird. Like, I just sit here. Should I just sit and complain? Like, what do
because
I do?
You're so used to doing so much.
Or even when I've been on like music video shoots or just anything, you know, any random like thing that I've done, like I'm not used to just having to be on camera. So I mean, it's not difficult. It's kind of just what I'm used to, you know, and everybody knows on the days when I'm on set, like the makeup artist, like anytime she's like doing my makeup and stuff, she's like, she'll like take my phone and just put it away. She'd be like, Joanie, you can't, you're a performer today. You can't answer like business calls right now. You can't do this. You can't do that. She's like, you got to put this away and, you know, do that. Like, just also my crew, they're just so helpful. They always know what I need. You know? So it's not, so hard. And it's just kind of what I've gotten used to, what I do miss is, you know, like at the end of the scene, like there's no like, wow, like good job. Like everyone's just kind of looking at me like, so did you get what you want? You know, like I do remember when I worked for other people, you know, at the end of the scene, they'd be like, that was amazing. Like, you're great. You're really going to be famous one day, blah, blah, blah. Like people. And then it's always at the end of my scenes. Everyone's like, okay, so are you good? Because they're all like working for me. They're like, do you need us to shoot anything else? And I'm like, so did you like it? And they're like, well, did you like it?
Yeah.
You're the one paying for it.
It matters what you think.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So,
so you work with the crew that you trust and you work with.
Yeah.
And the cast as well. you work with, you've like your favorites.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I hire like the same kind of group of guys all the time. Mm-hmm. But you know, that there's a revolving door of girls. I mean, people like to see new girls, you know, and some of them stick around for a long time mm-hmm. and become really popular on the website, and we'll shoot them in a bunch of different stuff. And some girls just come for one shoot and we never really see them again, you know, and everything and anything in between. Okay.
When you do a parody and you're looking for people to fit the roles, do you do an audition process, or do you just go through your bank of people that you trust?
Yeah, I just kind of, there are directors who do like casting calls and this and that, and I'm just like, whatever, this is a porn after all, you know, but I do just think through my head, like, who would be good for this? And I think I'm pretty good at knowing who's right for what roles. A parody is a little bit different because you have to like find someone that, you know, shares attributes with a certain person.
Yeah. Or can do a voice or.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, we have a lot of movies that are, you know, they're features, they're movies, but they're not parodies, you know, Vampire Cheerleaders. A new one I really like that came out, one of my favorites one from this year, it was Killer Cleavage from Outer Space. So when I'm writing those, I kind of like have certain people in mind, mm-hmm. you know, and I kind of base the character around them.
Okay.
So, so they don't have to act too much.
Is there ever a point when you're writing? Because I know that I've heard you say that, you know, there's a break and it says, and this is where the sex happens or whatever. But is there ever a point where you're like, no, I need this specific act?
Wait, what do you mean?
So when you're writing a script and you're in a scene and you know that there's going to be a sex section, mm-hmm. Is there ever a point that you're like, I need this specific sex act to happen in this scene? For plot purposes.
Yeah, it happens. I try not to put too much plot in the scene.
Okay.
You know, I try to just let the scene, once the scene starts, you know, try not to have, like, too many distractions going on. Mm-hmm. Unless it's, sometimes I just know we're shooting something and I'm like, there's, like, no eroticism to this whatsoever, so we could just kind of do whatever we want in the sex scene. Like, you know, like in Walking Dead or Evil Head or something where we're playing zombies and demons. It's like, it's so over the top anyway. Like, whatever, you know, we can bring the plot into it. But I try really, and just, you know, when people are having sex, I don't want to, like, have to be like, stop, say this, do this, move here, do this, you know, like, I want everybody to just be able to have some fun and, you know, just kind of do their thing. So really, it only happens when, like, sometimes I'll put stuff in the beginning. I don't know, like, in Vampire Cheerleaders, I remember, like, Tommy Pistol had to, like, I don't know, his character, he was like a werewolf, but like only sometimes, you know, werewolves, they're not always, they don't know, they have to have the right moment to turn. So he like turned while he was having sex, and it actually was really difficult. I remember during that, I was like, I'm not doing this again. But like, so as soon as he like put his like dick in someone's mouth, we had to be like, cut. And he had to like go and like put all this hair on him. And like, then for the rest of the scene, he just, I don't know, it was kind of complicated, so they like got into it and then they had to stop and then we had to change it and then, you know, whatever. But so I try to put most of the plot stuff like either in the very beginning of the scene or the very end of the scene, mm-hmm. so when we can just kind of shoot and just keep going.
I totally see why that would be difficult, but I feel like it's so worth it.
For that one, it was worth it, you know. Such, so I pick and choose when to do it, you know. So yeah.
All right. I want to change gears a little bit and talk about, there's a fleshlight of you.
Yeah, there is. That was very, very exciting. I was so flattered.
Yeah.
To get my own fleshlight.
Tell me the fleshlight is made.
They do a mold of you.
How? How is this done?
I mean, it's pretty, I've done molds. When we made Evil Head, I did like a mold of my head, mm-hmm. you know, because there's like a part, you know, where my head like rolls down a hill or something. Actually, don't even think we ever used that shot. The whole head cast was for nothing. But
it's a little different, isn't it?
That was actually very difficult and very complicated because when somebody's wrapping your head, you just have like little breathing holes
mm-hmm.
in your nose and like you can't see anything. And that was like giving me anxiety.
Yeah.
I mean, something just going on your vagina, like it just, I don't know. Yeah. It's just like a, getting a mold, I don't know, like getting like a cast.
And it's a mold of just like the exterior stuff. It doesn't go, they don't put mold inside.
But the stuff is like completely fine and like safe. I forget what the exact term is. It's something free, you know, like they obviously they make it to go on people's private parts, right. You know, so... they did get, I mean, the Fleshlight is very particular about being an exact replica, mm-hmm. like, of your pussy. You know? And I actually do remember the owner, like, telling me, like, to, like, before the cast went on to, like masturbate, like, a little bit. Like, not like he was saying, like, get in front of me and masturbate. Right. Like, you know, like, in the bathroom just like... the people can really buy, like, your vagina, like, in an aroused state, right. You know? Not every company is, like, that... The owner of Fleshlight, he's just, like, put so much love and care and concern into his product. He really wants... I mean, it is the number one selling flesh, right. You know, sex toy for men.
Yeah.
He wants it to be so exact. So he really does want to get, like, the exact, like... circumference of your hole, if that makes any sense.
It totally does.
He really, like, you know, so, I mean, it doesn't go, like, all the way in there. Right. It just goes, like, enough in there to get a good mold of it. But they kind of, you know, they put some, they put it over your vagina. And you kind of flip around and they put it over your butt, because they have a butt one. And then they did one for my mouth, too. But my mouth toy hasn't come out yet.
Okay.
But yeah, it's really just, it didn't take that long. I mean, the whole thing, I think, took like 15 minutes or something.
What?
When I did the head cast, it took like 2 hours.
Yeah.
You know? I think because it's just not that big of an area, or maybe because they do it so much,
they have it down.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. They have a material that just hardens like fast enough.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. I was just so excited to have a Fleshlight. Like, definitely didn't weird me out at all.
No, that's so cool. I heard that porn fans will get a little, they feel a little entitled or possessive in a loving way to the stars that they love. Do you feel like having a Fleshlight has made that happen more so than before?
What do you mean by possessive?
Where they feel like, you know, if someone were to bully you on Twitter, for example, they would all rally behind you and defend you. I feel like quality fans do that.
Sometimes they're the ones doing the bullying.
That does happen as well.
I don't know if I'd call them fans. More like lurkers.
Twitter. But do you feel like the sale of your Fleshlight has made people feel like they're more connected to you?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know.
You haven't heard any response one way or the other.
Yeah, I mean, people were definitely really excited, you know, and having a Fleshlight has made me more fans, too, because there are people who are just, like, fans of Fleshlight in general, and they're like, oh, wow, who's the new Fleshlight girl? Like, I should check her out, and that's pretty cool. I do like a lot of couples have told me, you know, like a lot of girls have, like, said, like, bought the Fleshlight for their boyfriends, you know, and they've, like, had these, like threesomes kind of with them, and I really like that, you know, so they're able to, like, watch my porn together and, like, use the Fleshlight, so it kind of just, like, enhances the experience.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it also just gives me a nice excuse when people are like, I want to fuck you. I'm like, well, here you go.
Buy this.
Take it.
Yeah. Well, you go to a lot of live events.
I do, yeah.
What is that experience like?
I mean, I'm not, that's, me having fans is what keeps me going.
Right.
You know, like, I'm not going to other people's sets and getting a paycheck for performing every day. Like, I'm paying money to have movies be made.
Yeah.
And if people don't buy them or if people don't like them, I can't keep making them. You know? So I really don't get weirded out by creepy fans. I kind of hate that term. You know, these people, I would not have the life that I have without these people. So if somebody wants to like talk to me a lot, if somebody's like a little strange, like if somebody's got like a lot of fetishes, if somebody's really dirty, like I don't care. Like, you know, anyone who has contributed to me doing what I do and me having what I have, like, they are worthy of my time, you know?
Right.
So when I hear other girls in the industry, like, kind of, like, get annoyed of fans, you know? I'm like, you know, without those people, you have nothing, you know? Like, these people, they keep us in business, you know? Like, without them, we are nothing. You have to remember what we do. I mean, obviously, we're all, like, entitled to personal space if we need it. But, you know, so if anyone, like, recognizes me anywhere or something, like, I'll always try to stop to talk to them and say hi or take a picture with them. Or, I mean, that's kind of just, that's what you sign up for, you know? Like, I'm not, and people feel close to me. Like, it would be rude of me to dismiss someone. And I mean, sometimes the days do get really long at conventions, or sometimes if I've talked to so many people in a day, at the end of the day, I've seen tired, and, like, I've found very few, it's not that many, but I have found very few, like, oh, I drove, like, somewhere to meet Joanna Angel, and she was, like, being a bitch, or she was this, or she was that. Aww. And if I ever find a comment like that, like, I've found people, and I've, like, sent them free movies, I've, like, sent them merch, you know, I try to, like, do whatever. I'm like, I'm so sorry, like, I don't know, I must have been the end of the day, I must have been tired, or, I mean, that's why, so, you know, and what really does exhaust you, it's not the fans, it's the I wish there was a word for them. I don't know what it is. They're just, like, random people that go to conventions because there's a convention in town, and then they just, it's like they go there because they want to just annoy girls or bother them or ask them stupid questions or, like, wait online in a line of fans just to, like, ask, or, like, people have waited online with fans, and then they get to me and they're like, do you know where the bathroom is? And I'm like, what? Why don't you ask someone else? Or they're like, so I just want to, like, pitch to you my idea I had for a porn. Or, like, can you tell me how to get in the industry? Or, like, oh, like, I'm actually not interested in any of this stuff. I want to get to know the real you. And I'm like, well, I'm here selling movies. I really don't have that much time to, like, talk to you about everything. Like, you know, or if you've at least ever bought one movie of mine ever, then maybe I will sit and talk to you.
Right.
You're just a guy that wants to talk to someone about the porn industry. I don't know. Watch a podcast that I'm on.
Like, watch adult this. Films, like, Exposed, man.
I can't sit here, you know, when there's other people that want to. Yeah. And those are the people that wind up, like, exhausting me or annoying me at conventions. Yeah. It's not the people that actually are fans of your movies. Those people are always nice and they're always respectful. And even if they're, like, a little bit perverted, I mean, who cares? You know, like, I'm not scared of perverts. I make porn, you know?
Watch. That's crazy. There are perverts just, like, watching your stuff.
What I'm in for and what I'm here for.
I want to talk about How the Grinch Gaped Christmas.
Oh, yay! I love that movie.
I
that
saw
movie was so much fun to
is
make.
The whole thing in rhyme?
Yeah,
the entire thing is rhyme.
The whole thing. That was so much fun. And when I was thinking of making that movie, at first I was going to have it kind of mimic the newer Grinch movie. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, the newer Grinch movie sucks, you know?
Yeah.
Because I was just going to make it. I was going to have the green makeup and whatever and just have it about me, like, you know, ruining people's Christmas. But I was like, no, what makes the Grinch story so magical is the fact that it's all in, like, a rhyme. So the whole thing...
Unbelievable.
I'm so glad you noticed that.
I just can't, that's so much effort and appreciation, and it just shows how much you care.
Everyone on set had, like, a lot of fun, and I did write a script, you know, and it did all rhyme.
Obviously.
Yeah, and it did all rhyme, but some of the performers, like, I remember Michael Vegas, he was in one of the scenes, and he just started coming up with rhymes on the spot, and it all worked. Like, I remember he, like, ad-libbed, like, three or four lines, and it all rhymed, and I was like, that was awesome, where'd you come up with that?
It's amazing.
Yeah, people were, like, getting into it, and they were having a lot of fun with it.
You should do an entire series of just rhyming movies.
I know, it was a little complicated.
Yeah.
It was so much fun. That green makeup, I was green for like a week and a half or something.
What did you use to go
green?
I mean,
it was just airbrush, you know, green makeup. We had like an airbrush artist come and paint me up green. But, but it was so much fun. I love that movie.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it's the Grinch who gaped Christmas. I was trying to, you know, find a way to make it funny and like, dirty at the same time.
Yeah.
So I think we accomplished that.
I think so. There's an amazing quote that I heard you say. It was that you want to make everyone laugh. You want to make them laugh with us, not at us.
Yes.
And that is one of your goals in your films.
Yes.
Your parodies.
Yes.
Specifically.
Yes.
Let's talk about why that's so important. Because...
Don't like being laughed at. I was laughed at a lot growing up, and I don't want it anymore.
Yeah.
I just think... I think porn is fun, but the way people view it sometimes is just, it's like unfair.
Yeah.
You know, they like don't, people don't give us the credit we deserve sometimes, you know, like especially the directors, you know, I think we really get like speaking as a director, not as a performer, you know, I actually think as a performer, I get a little too much credit sometimes. I'm like, I just have sex on camera. I don't know. I'm not doing anything that different than what you guys do every day, but thank you. Yeah. I'm glad that you like it. Just, I think directors, you know, sometimes they just don't. It's not an easy job to direct porn. You know, I have a lot of respect for a lot of the directors in porn. And, you know, what we all do, like, takes thought and time. And we have to produce so much stuff. We barely have enough time to think from one project to the next. You know, we're dealing with so many, like, different variables on set and, you know, small budgets and, and a whole bunch of other shit, you know, kind of working against us. And we're always kind of, like, known as the bad guy. You know, like, porn directors have this stigma, like, we're all these creepy people, like, we want to take advantage of everyone, like, we're making 20 times as much money as all the performers, and like this and that, and I don't know, maybe that existed somewhere in like the 70s or something, but it doesn't exist anymore, you know. Like, I think if you're in porn now, it's so hard to make money in porn, like, you really have to be doing it legitimately. And obviously I can't speak for everyone, but for I know how most of the industry runs their sets and runs their productions, and it's like pretty legitimate, you know, like, but in any case, I don't like it when people just like laugh at us, you know, like, it's not fair, you know, like, we want you to laugh with us. Like, we're having sex on camera. Like, we like to laugh at ourselves. And, that's always my goal, to make the jokes first before people make the jokes about me, you know?
what is one of the things that when you first started, you wish someone would have told you? Because you started and you started from scratch.
I didn't know nothing.
What's something that you learned over the years and you're like, you know what, people should know this?
I don't know. I really didn't know anything, you know, when it started.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. Can I answer that later?
Yeah. All right. So then let me say,
I hope I didn't sound like a crazy rambling person. Do I make sense when I talk?
No, you make complete sense. Okay. You make complete like, sense.
Blah. It's hard when people want to talk about like your whole career over time. I'm like, it's been a long time now. And there's, you know, been so many different periods of my career, you know, that have gone differently, you know, but I'm glad things are going well, you know, and I hope, you know, I get scared sometimes. But, you know, the future of the adult industry, you know, just because it's very hard to get people to pay for it now. And it's getting harder and harder. And that makes me upset, you know, because that's what I spend all my time and my money doing. So it's very important. If anybody's, you know, listening, like, please, like, if you like a porn star, if you like a company, you know, like please pay for the product, you know?
Right.
In some way or form, whether that means you're going to some VOD site and you're just buying one scene, or you're buying a membership to their site, or really, if you don't want to do any of that, at least come see me dance when I'm performing in a strip club, like contribute to me to be able to keep going, you know, with what I'm doing
right.
in some way, or it's just not going to be able to exist anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, what's next for you? What's the next project you're working on?
Man, I don't know. Like, I do have to shoot in like 2 weeks. I should probably figure out what I'm doing. I'm not sure yet. What did I just shoot that's coming out? I don't know. We've got a lot. Just always go to burningangel.com, you know, check out what we have going on. Check out one of the newest features we just had was, like I said, Killer Cleavage from Outer Space.
Yeah.
It's a really... really fun movie. I really love that one. Please check it out. Right now, Joanna Angel's Pool Party. It's also on Burning Angel right now, and you can check that out.
Yeah.
We just started debuting a movie called Dude, Am I a Slut? And it's a pretty good movie.
Is that inspired by anything?
Yeah, it's inspired by the Jason Ellis show. Do you listen to the Jason Ellis show? I've been going on the Jason Ellis show as a guest for... Mm-hmm. a very long time now, like almost 10 years, I think. And so he wanted me to make like a porn parody of the Jason Ellis show. And then there's a bit on the Jason Ellis show that he actually does called Dude, Am I a Slut, where girls and guys, I think too, mostly girls will call in and they talk about like promiscuous things they've mm-hmm. done. And then Jason Ellis decides if what they did was slutty or not.
Okay.
And you know, he has such a funny,
yeah.
over the top, you know, abrasive personality. Right. So, you know, it's always funny to hear about. So basically the movie is structured where I play Jason Ellis. So I'm an Australian radio host. So I have to fake an Australian accent. And then
how is your Australian accent?
I don't even mean you can listen to it. I did the best I could. It kind of goes in and out and it sounds a little British from time to time, but okay. I did the best I could. So I'm, and then on the radio show inside of the porno, we're doing the bit due to my slut. And I actually took, I took some actual calls from the Jason Ellis show we like reenacted them. So that, you know, there's a girl being like, oh, hey, well, this happened. And then it just fades into like a dream sequence of the story actually happening. Yeah. So it was really fun to do a porno based on real life slutty events. You know, like I'm always trying to capture a fantasy of something that people wish happened to them or like, or want to think about happening to them, or, you know, that, I mean, I'm always trying to put on film something that will inspire people when they're masturbating, a place where they will go in their head.
Yeah.
And this one was like, oh, this is stuff that actually really did happen.
Yeah.
And it was pretty fun to do. So I had a lot of fun with it, and I had fun, you know, faking an Australian accent.
Right.
And it was cool to do. Yeah. A porn parody of the Jason Ellis show. Something awesome. New, you know, hasn't been done before.
Yeah. And that's available on
Burning Angel right now. Awesome. It will be out on DVD in the near future.
Awesome.
But yeah, it's streaming on Burning Angel right now.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Why don't you tell people where they can make sure to follow you on Twitter and Instagram and all that good stuff?
Just at Joanna Angel. I'm on Twitter and Instagram. Awesome. You can find me. And Burning Angel also has an Instagram account. It's burning_angel. And it's Burning Angel is one word on Twitter. Oh, so annoying. It's kind of complicated. But,
awesome.
But I'm really glad that you have this podcast.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
Like you can tell you have a true love for adult movies.
I do. You know, I just want to know.
You just want to know everything about them. And it makes me really happy. It's really great. Things like this exist.
Thanks. Thank you.
Yeah.
What you guys can do for us, make sure you subscribe on YouTube. That's youtube.com/adultfilmsexposed. And on iTunes, guys, rate and review. We need 5 stars if you like us. If you don't.
Yeah, give them a good review.
Give us 5 stars anyway.
This was pretty good.
Yeah. And let us know on Twitter at AFXPOSED, AFXPOSED. Let us know who you want to see next using the hashtag AFXNext. You can find me on Twitter at Yael Teagle. That's YaelTygiel. And we will see you next week for more Adult Films Exposed.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.